Blog Talk Radio.
Sometimes you're flush and sometimes you're bust. And when you're up, it's never as good as it seems. And when you're down, you never think you're going to be up again. But life goes on. Remember that. Money isn't real, George. Doesn't matter. It only seems like it does.
All right, here we go. Sean Higgs coming at you at 9 p.m. on a Wednesday night, mid-November. Where's the time gone? November 18th, we got Thanksgiving next week. And, wow, what can you say? College football wrapping up. Got some interesting games this weekend. Playoff possibilities. Who's in? Who's out? Who's going to be complaining? Week 12 of college football, week 11 NFL. And, what do you know? It's a season goes fast. You know, we sit around all summer long waiting after the Super Bowl. When's football coming? You get the preseason in August. And next thing you know, it's a week before Thanksgiving. And college football's bowl season is right around the corner. That's just how it goes. It goes fast, you know? All right, as always, I got Western Michigan tonight as my free play. In case you're interested, in case you're wondering, you don't watch my YouTube video, you don't head on over to SeanHiggsWins.com, free pick page, Vegas Top Dogs, 10 star, see the video on there all the time. Now get them out there right now, my college hoops that we got going early. Cal Irvine, Richmond, Akron, St. Louis, Kent, all underway. Kennesaw State, six-pack of college basketball, and on the ice, we got the Capitals. It's a light card today. I shouldn't say a light card. It's not like, you know, on Monday, we had games going all day, 31 straight hours of basketball. Tomorrow it starts up again, 11:30 game. Temple, Minnesota. A real quick hit on this game tomorrow. I guess I'm leaning a little Temple here with the dog. You know, it's in Puerto Rico. Have to do a little more research on this game. Obviously, I don't have my my college basketball up for tomorrow. That's what we got going on now. Start with the leaderboards. I always mention the leaderboards on the free pick line and on my videos simply because it's the best way to find out who's hot. I don't understand. I don't understand you people. Dozens, thousands of handicapper sites out there. Thousands of guys on Twitter, Facebook. A lot of guys have sites. A lot of them don't. A lot of them just have email accounts. Last 7 days, Chip Shermis crushing it to the tune of 67% winners. Not too shabby. Matt Fargo behind him is 64%. Joe Gavazzi is 5-0. Tony George 9-4. Anthony Acasa 8-3. Obviously limited 7 days, but you're hitting better than 70%. Maybe you want to be like you're a selective guy. These three guys, not too bad. 22-7 run over the course of the week. You know, myself, I'm 30-27, 53%. Put out more games. More dogs in hockey. College football, NBA, put out more, or not NBA, I should say college basketball. College football, NFL, obviously more plays. Chip Trimmer's 24-12. Matt Fargo 21-12. Tony K 13-8. You know, that's just the last 7 days. You hit the leaderboards. I go through every day with you. NBA leaders right now, Chip Trimmer's 12-4, 75%. And again, a couple guys limited action. Tony K 3-0. Chase Diamond 6-3-1. Anthony Acosta 3-1. Jimmy Boyd 6-4. Still early. Still early with NBA. Actually, you know what? I apologize for that, because I had NBA on the last 7 days. So I don't know why I was doing that. I'm like, man, only a couple guys put out plays in NBA? All right, Chip Shermis leading the way. 33-15, 69%, good for 1696 plus units. Chase Diamond, 74%, 19-7. Bill O'Brien's 82-72. And then Jimmy Boyton, 59%. Tony Corleone, 58%. And you got guys under 10 plays, but in plus money-wise for the season. So, again, find a guy you like. You like limited action? Are you disciplined? Because a lot of guys who use services and doubts and handicappers are not disciplined. You like tons of action. You're disciplined? I got plenty of disciplined cappers on the site. All right, college football-wise, Tony K., rocking out number one, 64% winners. Number one in the money. He's got a $50 lead on Matt Fargo, who's 70-50, 59%. Rob Vincelini, number three at 59%. Jimmy Boyd, 58%. Freddie Willis, 55%. Doc Sports, 59%. Anthony Acosta, 56%. Brian Hay, 55%. Now, the percentage change because some guys put out more games than others. Let's use our heads. That's how it works. NFL-wise, the big dog, Matt Fargo, leading the way, 62% winners. He's got about a $30 lead on Tony Corleone, who's hitting 63%. Anthony Acosta, again, 70% winners. Myself, 58% on a year, followed by Tony George, he's hitting 61%. Frank Jordan at 57%, Jim Feist, 56%, Brian Hay, 60%. A lot of guys having nice, solid seasons in the NFL. All sports through the years, I'm number one, showing plus 3877 units. Tony K behind me, 3124. Chip Chirimbas, 2254. Frank Jordan, 2163. Mike Anthony, 2007. Doc Sports, Brian Hay, Kyle Hunter, all with winning years all around all sports. Now, listen, guys have losing days. Might have a losing week. They happen. Stunned somebody on Twitter. Well, you lost yesterday. Well, one day does not make me. You know, if you're going to worry about one day, I say this all the time. Listen, don't gamble. Stop. All right, do yourself a favor. If you can't take a one losing day, get out of it. Get out of the business, please. Last 3 months, I'm plus 4397. It's a huge, huge run. Almost 5,000 units. And these are based on, you know, $100 increments on the website that, you know, where the line feeds come. Anthony Acosta behind me, 63% winners. Tony K, 58% the last 3 months. Jimmy Boyd, 57%. Matt Fargo, 54%. Obviously, this guy's hitting dogs, 54%, and he's up 2,000 units. Chip Chirimbas, Brian Hay, you know, all putting money in your pocket. So get on board. It's right there for you. Right there. Find a cap you like. All right, mention the promo codes. The other day, we had the Taco Tuesday promo, 20% off on the entire network. On my site, you know, daily on my free pick line, you hear my daily promo. All right. Now, just real fast, looking ahead to the weekend here. I see Anthony Acosta. He's got a big college football winner up. Jimmy Boyd has your ESPN Bulls-Suns game for tomorrow night. Chase Diamond, we just mentioned, he's 13-2 in his top NBA plays. He's got a max wager tomorrow. Matt Fargo, number two in college, number one in NFL. He's got Thursday night college football action, NFL total, college football game of the year going. How about Jim Feist, the legend? Guy's been in business almost as long as I've been born. He's got three-team NHLer up, NFL, NBA, college mismatch game of the year, NFC North game of the year on Sunday. Tony George again. This guy's 11-4 with his top plays. SEC game in a month up. Go get it. Go get it. Jeff Hockman. Guy's killer in hockey. He's got a big, complete Saturday college football package up. Kyle Hunter with college basketball. Listen, Kyle is the totals king. If you're a big totals guy in college, let me tell you, you see some of these lines. I see some of these lines moving like 12 points already this year. Crazy. Get on board with Kyle if you're looking for college basketball. One guy I really respect when it comes to college hoops. Another legend, Doc Sports. College football game of the week, NFL 10-star game of the week is up. Rob Vincelani's up. Plenty of premium picks up. Get on board. Subscribe to the newsletter. Don't miss a winner. What else is there to say? What else is there to say? All right. Let's move it on. Moving on. College football. Not wasting any time. Let's get right down to this playoff picture. And clearly Clemson sitting in the driver's seat. Ranked number one. 27-point favorite at Wake this weekend. Should be safe. Close out the year at South Carolina. Again, should take care of business there. Wrap up the Atlantic. And then face, I believe, out of Coastal North Carolina. Who's playing better than them? I had them as a big best bet. They rolled. Nice winner for me there. These guys, I thought they were going to be a good team. I had them opening against South Carolina. They lost. Might come back to bite them in the ass. And playoff-wise, depending how things go. But, listen, two games coming up at Virginia Tech at NC State. Both revenge games for them. Don't see a letdown. They're just playing really good offensively. But again, Clemson, sitting in the driver's seat. Alabama, number two in the rankings. And let's be honest. It's going to come down to what I believe. I think they take care of their business, and it'll come down to the SEC championship versus Florida. Now, Florida's ranked eighth now in the playoff poll. 31-point phase over Florida Atlantic. And let's see, SEC championship game. One of these guys is going to be in it. Florida's either going to move up, or Alabama will maintain its spot in the board. Now, Ohio State's three, and here's where things get a little tricky. 13.5-point faves. They're ranked two in the, you know, the polls, some spots. You got top 10 team, Michigan State, coming in. Again, 13.5-point faves. Michigan's quarterback maybe a little banged up. Now, the interesting thing here, in the East, you got Ohio State, Michigan State, Michigan. 1-2-3 in the Eastern side. West is Iowa. They're fifth in a new poll with Wisconsin behind them in the West. But Iowa's 22-point fave over Purdue. They should, you know, 22-point fave, take care of business. And then they're at Nebraska. I really don't see them losing there, which sets up a game in the Big Ten Championship. Now, Michigan, they're 9-12 in this poll. Laying for Penn State. I'll be honest right here. I'm leaning to Penn State here. I think this line's a little soft. Looks a little maybe. We'll maybe touch on it a little later. Say they win here. Then they beat Ohio State. Then what happens? Say Ohio State takes care of their business this week. Then they lose to Michigan next week. You know, based on the tiebreakers and the way things are, I think Michigan gets in the Big Ten Championship. which would set him up for a game against, I guess, Iowa. Unless Iowa goes down to Nebraska, and then you might get a two-loss whiskey team here. You know, I want to take the points here at Michigan State. It's a big bundle. You're talking almost two scores, 13.5. And let's be honest, Ohio State's looked a little sloppy this year. Haven't really been as explosive. Michigan State, obviously the gift to win to Michigan to keep the ball turning for them. But at least we get a nice Saturday of football before a championship, before the, you know, Thanksgiving. You get the Black Friday games and then championship week after that. Notre Dame, sitting at number four in the poll. They got the 2-point loss to Clemson. Not bad. On the road. Clemson's still number one. Can't really complain about that loss. Boston College. And then Stanford. We do got a call. Let's head to the line. See what's out there. Go ahead, caller.
It's Tony George, your buddy. What's happening?
What'd you say there, Tony George? How are you?
I'm kicking ass and taking names. Having a great NFL season and having a great run here last month and a half or so. And thought I'd drop in on you and see how everything was going on the Sean Hicks show.
You know, I mentioned you. I do my little leaderboard report early, and I threw out how well you've been doing. That you were on a nice 11-4 run with your top plays. And
yeah,
last 7 days, I think I saw you up there.
Yeah,
9-4, 70%.
Yeah, we've had a 24-10 run in the NFL on the premiums, and then teasers 11-5. So, you know, that's we're happy with that. I do a lot of teasers on my bonus cards and on Monday Night Football, which gives you a little added incentive. You know, with some tight lines on Monday Night Football, we've been able to get a side or a total and then tease them and been doing real well there. And the college a couple weeks ago had a setback, had a game of the year on Michigan State. Nebraska got the win there in that game on a bad call at the end of the game. And so we have a setback, but our top plays have been absolutely tearing it up. We'll have got one already up for this Saturday in college football in the SEC. And you know, I don't do a lot of top plays. As you know, I'm a pretty conservative guy. So if I got one there, they're usually, you know, they're strong opinion. But I'm kind of a flat betting type guy, you know, Sean.
Well, I'm looking at you for the last, 30 days, obviously. Last 18 days of college, NFL football since the beginning of the month, since November 1st. I'm a little disappointed in you. Because you're only 11-3 with your posted play, 79%. I thought you'd be, you know, why can't I get 85% out of you? 79%, Tony?
Well, I've got a guy that was bitching. I got a guy that emailed me that bought my place, you know, and he emailed me Sunday morning, about 11 o'clock Central, about an hour before kickoff. He said, "You're out of your mind if you want to take Miami this afternoon and Arizona tonight. Philly's going to kill. Miami sucks. They're terrible, and Philly's going to kill them. And then, how could you go against Seattle at home?" So, you know, it's not always what you see. And of course, you know, to get through the NFL with that record, especially just last weekend, that was the biggest handle, biggest net profits sportsbooks in Vegas made was last week in the NFL because you know we had 12 underdogs.
Yeah.
Covered out of 14 games, and 10 of them were on the road.
Yeah. Yep. Big dog day for sure. You know, I have to say that.
Yeah,
buried last weekend?
Yeah, it's what happens, you know. I mean, you're betting numbers in the NFL. You know, I'm taking 5.5. You know, I thought errors, you know, sometimes you look at a game and go, well, you know, Seattle can't lose another one, you know, or New England can't, you know, go to New York and not beat them by 10. And, you know, you start, you know, looking around at some of these games and wanting to lay double digits, you know, with Cincinnati just automatic on Monday night. I took the under in that game instead of taking the side. I'm not going to lay double digits. I never lay double digits in the NFL, you know, but I'm not going to lay them. And, you know, it was just one of those weekends where I just kind of felt, you know, there were some big numbers on the board, some 5.5s, 5s, better team getting 3, like in Arizona, you know. And I got beat up on the Cowboys. They blew it, bad clock management, not a lot of effort. Turnover at the wrong time. That's
the coach.
Sort of thing.
The coach is terrible. I can't, you know. I've backed Dallas without Romo, and even when Romo's there, he finds ways to just lose games. Garrett, he's terrible. Against Seattle, I had him against Seattle. They did end up covering that game. He's running the ball like he's up 17-6 with 3 minutes to go in the game. The entire game, it's his mindset. He cost them against Tampa. I've seen him, he just blows games left and right. He's a horrible head coach. The guy had one. The fact that they went on that run and he got a contract extension just sets that franchise back even further between Jones not letting anybody else get in there and give an opinion, and the way he coaches is just flat out miserable if you're a Cowboy fan.
You're not gonna get a big hot coach in there that's gonna you know, want Jerry Jones' hand, you know, 2 foot up his ass, be the puppet. I mean, and Garrett fills that role. You know, he's making good money. He's a Cowboy at heart. He believes in Jerry Jones for whatever reason. But, you know, the clock management that he has as a head coach over the years has cost him, you know, 4 or 5 or 6 crucial games. You know, you're right. You know, they took the play calling away from him this year, and you know, there's certain
he's
things
the head coach.
You cannot handicap.
He still has the final say. He's still got the final say. I don't care, Marinelli, who's ever running offense, defense. He's still the head coach, and it goes, you know, it starts at the top. 2 overtime, they lose to the Saints in overtime. The Giants, you know, they blow that game on a punt. They're, you know, it's just been bad. You know, listen,
yep.
The Seattle game, I mean, even the Falcons, they came out good against the Falcons. They looked all right there, and then they collapsed the second half, get outscored there like 20-0 or whatever the case may be. And I'm going to say, I think the defense has definitely taken a step back. I thought they'd be a little more active. You got Hardy in there, even though he missed a couple games, the rookie Gregory. Not much of a pass rush, no sacks, no pressure on the QB. And today's NFL, you know, man, you need the pressure on those quarterbacks because it's just a joke the way these guys flip the ball and you breathe on them wrong and it's a 15-yard penalty. You can't get pressure, you're done for.
Yeah, you know, the one thing, the interesting thing about Dallas's defense was it was deceptively bad last year like it is this year. The reason that is they were able to just eat clock like crazy and run Murray like crazy last year and keeping their defense off the field, you know, and keeping them fresh was a big deal last year. They had a lot of time to make adjustments to do things. And this year they don't have that luxury.
You had a great running game. And you had Tony Romo, who as much as the guy gets a lot of flack, the guy's still a top 5 quarterback. I mean, he's a good quarterback.
Yep.
And as you see, teams lose quarterbacks, and things fall apart around them, you know. With the exception, I guess, of Matt Hasselbeck. That guy's like 50 years old. Apparently, gets better with age. He's like a fine wine, you know.
Yeah, he might be a fine wine this week against Atlanta. Atlanta's fallen off the map, and they've got all kinds of problems. Just inconsistent. They just can't consistently stay good. They're laying a big number this weekend against Colts off a bye week as well, you know, and Hasselbeck's won a couple games for him, and you know, I'm not so sure that they don't go in there and run the ball right at him and make a game of that. That's an awfully big number the way Atlanta's been playing the last 3 or 4 weeks. So I keep my eye on that line. It looks like, well, you know, they're at home in the dome, and you know Jones and all those guys, but I'm telling you that. Colts, you know, they did everything but beat Carolina on Monday night. They were way down, and, you know, it's a team that's capable. They look bad their last time out, so John Q. Public's going to be pounding. You know, Atlanta couldn't even get by San Francisco, for crying out loud. They're terrible. So,
it's
going to be real,
I agree with you.
Real interesting in that game.
Matt Ryan has great numbers at home. I mean, he had the rough past year, but at one point he was like 30-2 or something with Mike Smith on the sidelines. They're tough at home, but I look at this 5.5-6, and all I think is what you just said. How many public bettors and squares and regular Joes at the water cooler talking to their buddies saying, the Falcons can't win by 7 over this team? Who's quarterback? Matt Hasselbeck. You know, I mean, I could just, you could hear every person at Buffalo Wild Wings or your local watering hole saying, I can't believe the Falcons lost. How did they not cover that spread? The Colts are terrible.
Yeah. And Dallas,
you mentioned
the
double digit.
Yeah, Dallas is catching a point at Miami. Oh, Romo's back. They're going to kill him. They're getting points. That's going to be a layup. Well, be careful.
Listen, I'm a Dallas fan. As much as you want to jump on Romo, you can't just, you know, you need a little game time. It's one thing practicing, but you need some game time underneath your belt.
Yep.
A little game time underneath your belt. You need game speed, and let's be honest. You don't tell me Sue's just going to level this guy on a late hit. You know it's coming. I know.
Yep.
If there's one bet you can get down on that you want to make a, like a max wager play on, it's that Sue is going to get an unnecessary roughness penalty for pummeling Tony Romo Sunday.
Yeah.
That's going to happen.
Well, that's going to be an interesting game. It's going to take him a while to get back in with his receivers and some timing, and Dallas a little bit of disarray on the defensive side of the ball. They're not all that well coached. You know, I've been a closet Cowboys fan my whole life, and you know, I've always thought that Tony Romo was the top 5 or 6 quarterback in the league. You know, it's just sad state of affairs down there, and they're on the road. You know, after a tough loss, the 2-7 football team for a reason. Part of it is Romo's been out, obviously. You know,
I think that's a major issue.
yeah, they got rid of Whedon, and now Houston just picked him up today. But
well, you know, you see that Houston pickup. You think that's more to keep him away from the Colts? I mean, not that. Listen, I think Whedon's what 2-2. I don't even know what his record is straight up between playing on the Browns and his losing 0-3 with the Cowboys. I mean, it can't be that good, but
right.
You know,
well,
I saw a little article they might be blocking him. But, listen, you got T.J. Yates going for the Texans this weekend. I mean, you can't hurt to have an extra quarterback who's in at least
no, you're going to have somebody in there that's – well, you got Whedon that's game, you know, game shape ready at least, you know, instead of some guy you're, you know, picking out off the, you know, unemployment line like they did with Yates. He came in and, you know, stuck it to Cincinnati here the other night. Cincinnati kind of did it to themselves, but – you know, at the end of the day, you had a bad Andy Dalton in that game, and they better get it squared away quickly. They flip-flopped, you know. They were Kansas City and San Diego, you know, were going to be the Sunday night game up until a couple weeks ago when both these teams got hot. They flip-flopped them, and NBC took the Bengals and Arizona game, which is going to be a good one. And Arizona laying a big number. That's that 5 number again. Opened up 3.5 and shot up to 5. So,
you know, 3.5's one thing. You think about taking a home team. 5, and let's be honest, unless you got down that day, you weren't getting 3.5. You know, I like to think when I see 3.5s and 7.5s, I'm a favorite guy. I see that extra half point. I think they're trying to entice you into the dog. So if I see it sitting there on a Sunday or on a Saturday or Friday, 3.5, 7.5, I'm going fave all the way. Here, I like to, you know, I'll be back in Cincy. It'll probably be a service play for me. I'll probably be a Hilton play for me. Little, you know, it's a short week.
Yeah,
but off
you know
a bad
that
loss. Arizona's off a tough physical game. You know they wanted that Seattle game. They wanted
game
more than anything. If you're going to lose out of conference. You know, it doesn't hurt you in the your playoff standing. It doesn't hurt in division. You know, in conference.
Well, one of the biggest mistakes that. One of the biggest mistakes that that sports bettors will do, you know, and I'm looking ahead on their schedule here. I'm just starting to see who they got on deck. They got a conference game on deck against 49ers next week at San Francisco. Then they go to St. Louis, 2 road games after this one. But the one thing, you know, that the average bettor will do is take what he saw on television 1 week and think that's going to be the same way next week. You know, never bank on what you just saw. You had a team that had a bad you had a very good football team, you know, with a very good regular season quarterback this year. Now, he's fallen off the map, you know, in years and regressed. He has not regressed this year until that game. And Houston did a nice job defensively. They played up to their potential for once this season. Houston's very capable of playing that way defensively in a lot of games. They got a lot of talent, Cushing and Watt. They got that Johnson, that rookie kid's a great cornerback. He's going to be a good player in the league. But they had a bad game. It happens. You know, when you're undefeated, the noose always gets a little tighter, and some people are going to look at that and go, Arizona just beat Seattle. Cincinnati sucks now. Arizona's going to blow them out. And I tell you what, you could take what you want to take away. You could take what you want to take away from the Seattle and Arizona game. You know, they went up there and they beat them. Everybody thought Seattle was going to beat them. Seattle's not a good football team this year. Offensively, they're not a good football team. They gave them 32 points. Cincinnati's 10 times the offense that Seattle's got. And they'll show up ready to play here. And that's a big number, man.
We're in heading to week 11. As they say, your record says you are what you are. And Seattle's has been 500, and the defense has not been there. And that's it. There's nothing else to say. The defense has not been the same. I don't want to hear it's because Cam Chancellor sat out. It's, you know, people catch up with you. And no teams get better, and you stay the same. You're eventually going to lose talent. It happens. Teams come and pick your players, and that's that, you know. And this way through, people are going to overvalue that win, like you said. It's all about the eye test. You see something? Listen, speaking of eye test, you mentioned a 10-point faves, double digits. I had Green Bay last week, and I even say my write-ups. I don't like taking double-digit faves in the NFL. But I saw the way Rodgers played terrible against Denver, 77 yards, dug himself a hole through an interception against Carolina and ended. I figure perfect remedy coming into town. The Lions, that terrible defense, giving up 37 points a game. Their last four, and what happens? They not only do they not cover, they don't even win.
But yeah, how many times I look at this team? I had Detroit out of the replay last week, and it was interesting, Sean, because I was talking to Matt Holt. He does my radio show. I'm sure you've heard him before on my show. He's the chief odds maker for Cantor Gaming in Vegas. I said, boy, you've got 72% of the tickets written on Green Bay, and yet you haven't moved the line. I go, why? And he said, because the money was even. So when you go to sports books, you go to the sharps, once you get over like 10, you get up to 11. The second that goes over 10, the fall number of 10, remember, sharp gamblers, white guys, they bet into numbers. They don't bet into games. You know, they'll bet into every number on the board. That's how Steve Fezzik won the Hilton Superbook twice. He told me that. I was betting into numbers. I'm looking at 5.5, 7.5, 8s, you know, anything double digits. I was taking them, and he won the thing back-to-back years, a couple hundred grand each year. You know, and, you know, I think we're like in 31st in that thing right now. But when I heard that, you know, I'll go with sharp money. And the other biggest sharp bet on the board last week, you know, and I get this information and I utilize it. The other biggest, the biggest sharp bet on the board was Miami. You know, and both of them won outright. Now that probably doesn't happen every week. You know, and you would think that Green Bay, they can't run the football. They can't run the football. Yeah. They can't set up play action, and you're playing a desperate team. You know that. For, you know, you would think with all the, I mean, there's no reason not to take. You know, Green Bay, you know, the front office in Detroit had just all got fired and everything's kind of from administrative levels in disarray. The head coach is a lame duck. Then they get a new manager in there, they're going to get rid of Caldwell. So, you know, he's just pulling out all the stops, and it's a perfect storm for Green Bay. And I'm going to tell you something right now. I wouldn't be a bit shocked at all. Matter of fact, I would be surprised if they didn't get beat this week. Minnesota's red hot. Best tackling team. Yeah. If you watch them play, they tackle better than anybody in the NFL. They are a tackling team.
Zimmerman's a great coach.
They are a one-hit team. They are well-coached. And last time I checked, Sean, what is Green Bay, like 27th in the league against the run? They're taking on Adrian Peterson?
Yeah.
Good luck.
But, again, you get the – you know, I was looking at this game because it's so – you know, it's a pick. It's one and a half. You know, it's a low line. And I look at that the way the Minnesota destroyed the Raiders. It was 14-13, and then all of a sudden you get a big run and like a punt return or something, and then it's a blowout, you know?
Yeah.
I thought that would be maybe, you know, listen, I like Minnesota. I got them. I was out there for the Super Contest. I got down on them over 7.5
yep.
wins and to win the division, you know, the North. And what I got them at? Let me find my little thing here. 5-2 they were at, you know.
Yep.
So I think this is a good team. Why is it they're not home field worthy? They're not a 3-point fave worthy? Why aren't they 3-point faves here? Is it just because of the desperation of Green Bay? They have to win. You know, no way Green Bay loses 4 in a row. Is that the thinking?
Well, I'm thinking that they don't want to get too lopsided on it again. You know, thinking maybe Green Bay comes out of it. You give Green Bay 3 in that game, the public's going to pound them all day long. And if Minnesota continues down the path, you know, the books can clean up with holding a lot of Green Bay money. So that's interesting. As a matter of fact, I'm going to talk with over at my website at TonyGeorgeSports.com, and Sean sells plays over there. You can find his stuff over there. It's guaranteed, just like your site. But we archive those radio shows on my website. We tape those Yahoo Sports Radio shows, and Sirius 93 picked up my NFL show, so it's on the same time on Sundays on Sirius Channel 93 at 11 Eastern. It's an hour show. But I put those on my website, Sean, on Friday when I tape them. You've been on it before, and
yeah.
You can listen to that show before it airs nationally. And you can get all your picks. You know, obviously they air before any kickoffs on Saturday and Sunday mornings, 11 to noon Eastern. But, you know, at day's end, you know, I'm going to talk about this game with Matt Holt and have him – I always have him explain to people why the line is set to where it's at. He'll tell them, here's where all the sharp money's at, and here's where all the public money's at. And it's you know, like unprecedented access to a guy that sets odds in Vegas for 7 of the biggest books in town. You know, he happens to be the chief operating officer of the whole company, so – those listening there, be sure and tune in. And looking forward to getting you back on the show again one of these days soon, too.
Oh, absolutely. You know, I enjoy that. You know, also one little tidbit here for Minnesota, good little angle. Green Bay swept them last year. You know, a little double revenge factor going for them here. And maybe it's a little – they definitely think that's something to prove with the Vikes. 2 straight losses
yeah,
Green Bay last year. Maybe this is their time.
Well, I think everybody up there is. I was listening to a guy on sports radio today, and he was from Minneapolis, and he was on a one of these talk shows. I forgot, a Mad Dog Radio or something. I was listening, and obviously the town is electric up there. But you know, I think everybody in Minnesota, and I'm holding a Minnesota futures ticket in my pocket and a Cincinnati's future ticket in my pocket. I'm also holding an Oakland over 4.5 in my pocket right now.
Nice.
In the future, I bet on the weekend we were out Super Contest when you and I had a beer together. But
yeah.
At the end of the day, you know, there's a lot of people in Minneapolis and that are Viking fans that thought they could get into the playoffs this year. They didn't think they could win their division, but they thought they could get into the playoffs with maybe a 9-7 record. Guess what? This one here, they get a win up on Green Bay here. I'm going to tell you something. That's huge. That's huge
yeah,
for them. You got to play them up there next. You know, and
yep.
maybe they snap out of this. They're kind of sleepwalking through games. I don't know. You know, I really can't put my finger on it other than they benched Lacy and Starks. Starks didn't have any yards. They couldn't run the ball last week against Detroit, for Christ's sakes. You're not going to run it against Minnesota, not that well. you know. Yeah. And so at the end of the day, this game this Sunday, as far as they're concerned, and if I'm a coach of that team, and Zimmer's no dummy, trust me, he should be up for coach of the year. And I'm going to tell you something.
Well,
he's going to tell them this is for the division. This very well could be for the division. You know, let's not get a game down on them here and got to go back up there in December and play them in the frozen tundra. You know, I mean, they're used to the cold weather there in Minneapolis. Don't get me wrong. I lived up there for a year. But I'm telling you, that freaking game this Sunday is a monster game for Minnesota, and they've been waiting for it. And they beat a good Oakland team. Oakland's a lot better than you think they are. They got some weapons. You know, Oakland couldn't stretch the field vertically on them. They did a nice job of getting after the quarterback. You know, and Rodgers is going to be on the run here. And I think if Minnesota is ever going to beat them, at least 2015 will be this game, Sean.
Well, everything's, you know, the stars are lining up the way Green Bay's been fading the last 3 weeks. Minnesota's been playing excellent. Again, they have a nice little payback mode for two last year's losses. And I like Zimmerman. I thought that was a great hire when he came over. Steady increment improvements. Teddy Bridgewater's taking little step. He doesn't have to take huge steps. We got Adrian Peterson behind him. The guy's having a monster year. You know, I mean,
yeah.
Like I said, these guys couldn't move the ball against Detroit at home, who's given up almost 40 points a game in the last four. And another point about that game, Detroit cans their whole front office. I'm thinking to myself, these guys aren't playing for the coach as it was. They look terrible. Who are they playing for now? This guy, they know this guy's out of here at the end of the year. Win a game, lose a game, that was as much of a mind-boggling loss that I could just imagine. I can't stand Green Bay, but I look at the way they played, and I think of Aaron Rodgers, and I've seen him just be above greatness. I mean, just I saw him shred Seattle's defense in Seattle. And yet to play like that in your whole team, I'm like shell-shocked from that loss. I'm not even a fan, but it was just a bad loss. I look at that, and I just sometimes, you know how it is, Tony. You write down, like, you like a game, you write down different things about it. I throw my numbers out the window. I think if I take a dog, I think that dog's going to win outright, whether it's a two-point dog or an eight-point dog. I think the dog's going to win outright. And if I take a fave, it's going to win by, if the line's 3 or 30, I don't worry about the number because I think they're just going to, you know, win convincingly. So for them to lose, I'm just, like you said, I can't even put a finger on, okay, you can't run the ball, but you got the second best quarterback in the NFL against one of the worst defenses in the league. Hey, and you're off two losses where you've been shut down by two of the top defenses in the league. I'm flummoxed from that. It's just a mind-boggling loss. And now I see them coming into Minnesota. Why isn't this game the Sunday night game? You know, that would be a good Sunday night game. Not taken away from Cincinnati or Arizona. I mean, they're two top teams, but I guess they look at it as it's, you know, Arizona's out west. You know, I don't know, a couple.
Well, that's
another.
A good game.
What do you think about?
That's a good game where you can get a West Coast audience. You know, Green Bay, Dallas. Always pull in good ratings because they're two big public teams. Steelers, another one. You know, Dallas, Pittsburgh, Patriots, people love to hate them, so they're going to watch them just to root against them or root for them. You know, but it is a little surprising they picked those games. But, you know, they switched this game out 2 weeks ago, and Green Bay had just come off a 141 total yard performance against Denver. You know, and you know, one thing about it, it's any, you know, the old adage, you know, any given Sunday, you know.
Oh, absolutely.
And I tell people all the, in any given night in the NBA, where frickin' Philadelphia could beat San Antonio by 20. It happens.
Yeah,
These guys are pro athletes. They were all Americans in college and all conference players and studs. And, you know, especially in the NBA, you know, if you're starting basketball, if you're starting one of the starting five on any NBA team, you can flat out frickin' ball. There's no two ways around that. And anybody can beat anybody. Kind of the same thing in the NFL, you know.
Yeah.
And so when Detroit beat Green Bay, I wasn't shocked. I was a little surprised, but nothing shocks me. because these guys are all that good. I mean, the difference between one guy and the other guy is inches in a second or two. I mean, that's when it boils down to it, you know, that's the way it is. And, you know, they have talent in Detroit. They just can't get it, you know, put together. I mean, Stafford's a decent quarterback. He's above average. You know, Megatron is an elite receiver. Amir Abdullah is one of the best rookie running backs out of the draft. I mean, their offensive line sucks, and they just got it together. But Green Bay's defense exposed a little bit last week. That's going to be their nemesis here. They're just not all that right now. That's for sure. But nonetheless, it's going to be an interesting week. It's a tough board. I'm trying to figure out. I got to be honest with you, Sean. Other than looking at it, it's easier for, you know, our service plays. I put out two sides of total and a teaser every Sunday. But trying to find five games total that I feel confident about submitting to the Hilton contest, we're like in the top 30 or something, 35 or 37 or something right now. Trying to find five games against a line where there's huge advantages, you know, it's tough to find them this Sunday, dude.
Let me ask you, do you usually use the Thursday night game, or do you rarely use the Thursday night game?
I don't like using the Thursday night game. We used the Bills last week because I liked them.
We
all took them, and you know, I'm dealing with an odds maker, you know, in Vegas on my team. I have a little bit of an advantage, but you know, we took Detroit, we took Miami, we lost on Dallas. They trick screwed me. I'm still pissed. So I ended up going 4-1. No, we went 3-2 last week because they all wanted to take Seattle, and I was the only guy that liked Arizona. You know, so they backed the public on that, and I, you know, we have a team, you know, with three guys, and we argued it. You know, we had a thing at the beginning of the season: majority vote wins, and no one gets pissed off, and we're all friends, so you know. And then I don't come on there, you know, later in the night going, "See, told you so." We just, hey, we take it. It comes and it goes. You know, I've been doing this 23 years. So every time I say I've seen it all, something crazy pops up. But there's always one a weekend where you just go, "What the hell was that deal?" You know, you know, the Colts fake punt when they were playing the Patriots, that fourth down deal. I mean, so every now and then you see one of those, you just go, "What the F was that guy thinking?" You know?
yeah. I've been there. So let me ask you something real fast. I want to talk to you about Kansas City. What are you thinking about this Denver-Chicago game? Be something you just lay off? I look at it like I want to take the Bears, but again, you bring in some new quarterback. Sometimes that adds a little spark to a system.
Well, there you go. That you just said it there. There's too many intangibles. I don't know. You know, I was very surprised, very surprised. One of the rare teasers I have lost this year. I had St. Louis last week in a teaser, took from 7 down to -1. I thought they could get by. I thought it would be a tight ball. I didn't think St. Louis had any business laying 7 to anybody when you got Nick Foles a quarterback, but you know, at the end of the day, their defense, you had the better defense at home, and I was just laying a point on a tease. And for Chicago to go in there and put points up on them, buddy, that was, I wasn't buying into Chicago because San Diego is so beat up in that football game when they played them. I mean, they had like 7 starters out, and they were losing guys during the game. You know, they got lucky to win that game, and I took Chicago that night, buddy. So I don't know what to think about them. And then, so I thought, well, they got by against a beat-up Chargers team that just they can't close out a game to save their ass. And then they turn around and go to St. Louis, who had destroyed everybody in there. They have destroyed San Francisco. They took Pittsburgh to the wire, barely lost that game. They held everybody in there under 20 points. They killed Seattle, blew up the season. They're playing the frickin' Bears. And the Bears come in there, light you up for 30-some points. So I don't know. And now the Bears, 2 weeks in a row, they got to face another good defense. It's pissed off because Kansas City ran a score up on them. They had no choice. They kept giving them the ball. That's going to happen in the NFL. So I don't know what to make of it. I don't know. And, you know, you got a wild card. Like you said, you got Osweiler. What can he do? You know, are they going to blitz the hell out of him? you know, and try and rattle him because he's inexperienced. And if they do, if he's able to stand in there and deliver strikes and zone coverage, you know, Denver might move the ball right down the field. They got studs at wide receiver. We all know, tight end. We all know that. You know,
yep.
So and then that opens up the run game. Maybe Denver steamrolls them. But, you know, on the other side of the coin, too, who knows Denver better than John Fox?
Exactly. Going against a team that canned them. I think he's one of those guys, you know, and they're playing better, too. They're like, you know what, why can't we win? Let's do it for the coach.
Yep. You know, it's one of those weekends where if you're listening to this show, you start throwing a bunch of darts at a board, see what sticks, you're going to lose your ass this weekend. You got to be less is more. You know, you get a couple bets down, maybe run a teaser, stay away from parlays totally. You know, you got to be tiptoe through the tulips lightly on Sunday because it's going to be the Monday night game's no bargain. You know, you got a big game there on Monday night. And, you know, the Tom Brady, Bill Belichick middle finger tour is alive and well, and, you know, probably won a game they probably shouldn't have. You know, New York's got some problems with clock management and all kinds of stuff in that game. And it's hard to believe that it's happened to Coughlin a couple of times this year, and he's usually real good at it. Manning checking out a run plays with, you know, leaving 6 seconds on the clock and stopping the clock right before a two-minute warning. I mean, just stupid stuff. Like me and you were sitting there going, what are you doing? You know,
especially
from
a team like a guy like Coughlin.
Yeah.
With two Super Bowls under his belt with Eli. I mean, you don't expect to see that from them. Especially against a team like the Patriots, who they've proven they can play against and they're not intimidated by. You know, I was listening to somebody, or might have been reading it somewhere, how coaches always say the right things about when they're going to play the Patriots. This, that, Brady this, and we got to contain this. But it just seems when the game gets underway, everything gets thrown out, and the guys start overthinking and not using their heads. Where Coughlin always kind of stays the same way and lets the ball roll because it's supposed to go downhill. He lets it go downhill. He doesn't stop it. But like you said, man, some of those play calls, I'm just, what's going on? And the clock management, listen, I loved it against Dallas opening day. I'll take a win like that. But, man, I don't know. I don't think the guy's getting senile, but definitely a couple things might cost him. You know, I mean, I don't think Dallas is going to run off to be, you know, 9-7, or the Eagles are going to somehow go 10-6. But one of those, that loss could come back and bite them in the ass and keep them out of playoffs.
Yeah, I thought they would probably – I had them doing some good things last year, beginning of the season. That's the only futures bet I lost last year, because I had them over 8 wins, and they just sucked all year. And I thought they would come back. I mean, Tom Coughlin is a good football coach. In my book, he's probably top five in the league. He's been around a long time. He knows what he's doing. He's you know, took Jacksonville to a championship game their second year in existence or wherever it was. And, you know, he's
done a
lot of good things.
I had them crushing Miami in the playoffs that year. It was like 63-10 or something.
Yeah. I mean, he's a great football coach, you know, and sometimes things run their course, you know. Guys go elsewhere, you know, but, you know, he's stuck around there. They believe in him. I think he's a hell of a good football coach. And, you know, his teams are always prepared to play a game. You rarely see them come out of the gate and get blown it completely out of the water, you know, at least early. But you see them making mistakes late this year that have just cost them, and it's going to jump up and bite them in the ass, I think, down the road here because, you know, who knows? That division's up for grabs.
I think someone likes them, though, for them to get a bye week this late in the season. I think that's always a good sign. It's a good time for a bye week, especially heading into a game on the road to play in Washington next week. So, listen.
No,
it's interesting.
It's good.
You know,
anytime
Philly,
you got a bye after week 8, everybody loves it. Players are starting, those bumps and bruises start adding up and compounding, and to get 13 days off between games is a huge deal in the NFL.
Man, and, you know, like I said, they got, you know, Phillies in that 4-5, even the Redskins are 4-5. I don't think the Redskins will be Carolina this week, but You know, it should be a little rest off between facing Washington off the Carolina game on the road. Probably be a short fave.
Yeah. Well, that's gonna
like you're saying.
That's going to be a physical game for what you think about that. It's Carolina's kind of like Seattle was last year. You wake up on Monday morning after playing Carolina, you know you're in a ball game because that's a very physical football team. And, they're going to find it going a lot rougher offensively, Washington is this week than they did last week because the Saints are absolutely deplorable. I had a lot of guys telling me they were going to take the Saints last. I have a couple of handicappers. I talk to handicappers on the phone, and we have a conference call. I won't name names, but there's some pretty respectable guys, and they were mentioning New Orleans. And I said, you're going to lay a point? It's only a point. Let me tell you something. I'm not laying any points with a defense that bad on the road, ever. I don't give a,
not
I don't
that,
give a
I mean,
crap if it's a half a point, dude. That's
listen,
that defense. And now, Ryan, they fired him, but that's not going to do him any good. They just don't have it. They don't have it going on.
I had the Skins last week there, but the week before I had the Saints over, I guess, the Mariota.
Titans.
And the Titans, simply because I figured, all right, rookie on the road, you know, Breeze, he's going to put up his points. But I just thought to myself, you give up 49 points the week before. I think you're going to, you know, man up a little bit and get a better effort, and I think I could cover a touchdown at home, you know, against a rookie quarterback. Holy cow, are you kidding me? You're losing. I'm surprised I know he got fired this week. I'm surprised he didn't get fired after Mariota beats him in overtime.
Yeah,
crazy.
He was showing rainbows in that game, and they still were catching him.
You know, you were mentioning before, you're talking about throwing darts at the board this week, looking at these lines. Now, the old adage is home field is 3 points. Now, Tennessee, Jacksonville's laying 2.5. Detroit is a 1-point home dog. The Bears were a 2-point home dog. Now they're a 1.5-point fave. Miami started as a pick'em or a dog. Now they're -1. The Ravens were 1. Now they're 2. Minnesota was a pick'em or 1. A lot of low lines. And like you just said, people looking at a team be like, oh, Saints on the road against crappy Washington. Washington's terrible. Now we look at these games. You know, could be another death trap for people.
Yeah, and I've expressed this, you know, repeatedly, you know, to anyone that they want to listen to me. That NFL, you did bring up a point earlier in the show that I want to emphasize to people because it's a good point, and that is what you see is what you get this time of year. Teams are not still developing chemistry. They're not trying to find their identity. That's 3 weeks into the season. You're week 11 here, whatever. Yeah. Everybody always tells me, you know, I was mentored by a legendary handicapper in Las Vegas by a guy by the name of Mike Lee. And he's written a lot of books. He passed away in 2006. He was a legendary handicapper. Worked with Billy Walters out there. I mean, the guy's been around. He was an old-school scratch-pad handicapper. And he told me, like, you know, I've always been real successful in the NFL postseason. He said, you get a week 10, week 12. He said, take the best team and bet it as long as the number's manageable. He goes, because they are what they are. You know, the old Dennis Allen thing. They were who we thought they were. You know, that's true to a certain degree. I mean, you know, and you got manageable numbers. Now, I don't have manageable numbers. You know, Green Bay laying 11 when they freaking lost 2 games and looked like shit doing it. Pardon my French. You know, you got the Patriots laying almost an insane number every week, 7.5 last week on the road. Against a Tom Coughlin coach team, hell yes, I'm taking the Giants. You know, do I think New England's going to win? Yeah, but you start getting some of these manageable teams at low numbers. You know, these good teams at low numbers. I mean, Minnesota. There's an example. Minnesota's playing great, and Green Bay isn't. Green Bay is in a frickin' free fall, and Minnesota is ratcheting it up. And yeah, they did run it up on Oakland at the end of the game because Oakland was giving the ball and making mistakes. But at the end of the day, You know what they did with those mistakes? They turned them into points. That's what they're supposed to do. And Peterson's running wild, you know, and Green Bay can't run. So you got the better running game, the better defense at home at less than a field goal. That's a team you just take. You know, that's something I've learned over the years, especially in the playoffs, because usually in the playoffs, Sean, you're not dealing with 7 or 8 points there. You're dealing with 3, 3.5. You know, pretty much teams are even. Maybe the wild card games, there's a 7-point line. You know, maybe somebody's playing someone to eat their way in there or whatever. Go ahead and lay it, you know, because the better team's usually going to win in that scenario, you know, as long as you got some manageable numbers. But you're absolutely right. That eye test is absolutely the truth. You've been doing this long enough to know you watch a game, you know, and sometimes you watch a game and take something away from it other than the result. I watched Monday night, and I know Cincinnati's better than that. They just had a bad game. And so I know by watching them all year long that there's no way you give that offense against a team that gave a bad offense last week, 32 points, there's no way you give that offense 5 or 6 points. That game gets up around 6, you better get all over Cincinnati.
Yeah. I can't believe it jumped. Listen, I guess I can believe it because at 3, why not take the home team? I understand that. And that's not public money coming in there either.
No.
You know, I mean, so I see that. I mean, it raises my, you know, I raise the eyebrow a little bit, like, oh, because I like Cincinnati. But now the line has jumped 2 points because smart money moved on it. So am I on the wrong side? But I'm taking five, whatever that is, 5.5. Closes at 6 on, what's it got right now on? What I'm,
5.5
what
right now.
I got here. Yeah.
I got 5.5. I haven't pulled up my live odds tracker here. I'm a little nervous at the moment on this Central Michigan Kent State game. That line finally dropped to 9, 9.5 at the top end. Kent State, shit, those guys, they're like 128th in the college football in scoring, you know, and they've got more yards in this game than they've had all year. You know, at halftime, and they're it's 20-14, but, you know, you're laying 9.5 here, and Kent State's just, I mean, you know, they're giving Central Michigan all they want. That's some fodder for this weekend in college football. Don't be laying a bunch of big numbers this weekend in college football. And the other thing I did want to tell everybody is remember one thing. A lot of these teams are playing at home for the last time this year, and it's senior day. That's a big deal. These kids want to go out a winner, and these teams that are quote-unquote no good or got 4 wins and no shot at bowl game, they're playing at home for the last game of the year. They're not going to throw in the towel. You know, you got a couple of games there, a couple of coaches like Gary Pinkel getting 8.5 against Tennessee at home. It's his last home game ever as a Missouri coach. You think they're going to go lay down in that one? Yeah. No, they're not. Same thing too. Virginia Tech, Frank Beamer's last home game ever. That team's going to be so jacked up to play that football game. You start laying big numbers like that on the road against teams and scenarios like that, senior day and coach's last game ever. Yeah, you think again before you do it.
You know, I forget because I said at the beginning of the show, college football wrapping up. You know, it's like you got next week, you got this week, and basically next week, and that's it. It's done, 2 weeks, you know. And I just said how fast the season goes. You sit around, it's like, oh, Super Bowl, then we'll dabble with some college hoops, March Madness, and then it's like, what do? It's April. We're going to bet a little baseball, and then it's just the drag until football season. And here we are, Thanksgiving is next week. College football season is basically over. You got bowl season coming up, but basically you got 10 days of college football, and then that's it. We'll have a couple championship games 1st of December, Army-Navy, and then bowl season.
Yeah, then it's 36 or 38 bowls all the way through December.
Yeah, but once they start rolling, you know, you have a span of 3 days there in December, like half of the games are off the board. Boom, they're gone. You got an 11 o'clock game on Fox. You know, everything's – listen, I love bowl time. It's fun.
So do I. A kid in the candy store.
Listen, Christmas Eve, I love turning on, seeing somebody on Hawaii playing. The Hawaii Bowl's usually on, I think, you know, right? I'm pretty sure Christmas Eve is the Hawaii game.
There's one on Christmas Eve. I remember watching it last year. My wife's it's going to bed. What are you doing? I said, I'm working. That's the beautiful thing about our job, Sean. Whenever we're watching sports and the old lady's bitching, guess what? We're working.
That's what I say, sometimes. People like, what are you doing? I'm like, you're not complaining when you just bought $180 boots. Come on. You just bought freaking boots that cost $180. What are you doing to me?
I've been married 28 years, and I've been in this business 23, and I was an action junkie before I ever started doing this professionally. I've been betting games and running numbers and doing all kinds of stuff before I even started being a professional handicapper. My wife's been involved in all of it. She's just, over the course of time, she just put up with it. Now, 2 years ago, this summer, I decided to take the entire first half of Major League Baseball season off. So when I got through with March Madness, I did a little bit of NBA postseason and took half of the baseball season off, vacationing and traveling and keeping one eye on the NBA and then working hard, on my NBA on my NFL database and stuff. And I concentrated and kind of laser focused in more on a lot of football in the off season and got my ducks lined up in a row and really studied. It's paid off. You stated my record earlier and it paid off for me this year, but it was nice to get a break, to have a 2 week summer vacation and not have to worry about anything, or look at a phone, scores and odds, on my phone apps and follow every score and be worried and be pissed off because I lost a game. And then go in and so I got to go look at the box score, at 11 o'clock at night, my time, and sit there till midnight, scratch my head going, how in the hell did they have 9 runs? So I just, it was nice for a break, but at the end of the day, I didn't choose this. This chose me, and this is what I do for a living. This is who I am. It's part of my being, and that includes holidays because it's 365 days a year, and if you don't have your crap wired tight, you're going to lose.
Yeah, and like you said, man, sometimes you just need, for me, my break time's I'm not a big NBA guy. I try to find some spots, teams on a back-to-back, somebody gets blown out by 40, I'm going to play on the next day.
Okay.
I'm not a fan of the NBA at all. Playoff time comes, I'll throw out a couple unders. I just can't watch. It's an absolute joke. I had somebody the other night, I forgot who I put out. They were down 20 at home going into the fourth quarter. I'm favored by 6. And then they come all the way back to, take a 3-point lead, and then they win by, 1 or something. You're like, I can't do the NBA. I can't. It's all about everybody makes a run. It always seems like whatever game, it's the same scenario plays out across the board in every NBA game. I just can't get into it. The college game, I love. Maybe it's just because it just reminds me of my youth watching it, and those teams that just – guys stayed there their whole careers. I mean, think about this Duke-Kentucky game the other night. Imagine if these cats all stayed if they were had a state of their junior year, the NFL or something. What kind of game would that have been last night? I mean, are you kidding me?
Yeah,
it would have
been unreal.
I think the play is crisper. I can't watch the NBA and see guys being paid 16, 12, 8 million, whatever the case may be, and they can't hit free throws. No one's got a 12-foot jumper. Everything is isolation. We take it to the hole, get fouled, and then maybe hit 2. I'm a 76% free throw shooter. I mean, okay, it's better than most, but, man, if you play, I want to see at least 88s across the board. I don't know. I like that Golden State team. I like the guys that shoot a 3. I like the jumpers. You can hit a jump shot.
Yeah, well, you're a professional. College is a guard game. In NBA, you need a good shooting guard, but the NBA games play completely above the rim 75-80% of the time, whether you're on offense or rebounding. The one thing about the NBA is, and I put out 56 plays in the NBA last year total. That includes playoffs. I'm very selective, and I've done very well in it. And the one thing I found in the NBA, when it comes to handicapping the NBA, I don't put out a play
you know, every day during the season. If I do have four or five plays in a week, they're single out. I don't put doubleheader, tripleheader cards together. I find the best bet on the board, and I bet it. But one thing about the NBA is it's all about scheduling spots. That's how I've been successful. I find teams on long road trips, fourth, fifth game, the long road trips, especially around the holidays. You know, even good teams, they're not going to cover a big number. You know, it's a good time to go against them, those sort of things. You know, and so I have spots in which I look for, you know, teams on the East Coast swing from the West Coast on their fourth game in 5 days and that sort of thing, and you fade them. You know, and you can win a lot of money doing that, but you have to watch the schedule like a hawk and know what the situation is. And the other thing about the NBA is, you know, you start looking. I put out four plays. I went 3-1. I've got one tonight. I got an under in the Atlanta game. I haven't even looked at the score. It was 209 last. You know, it was the total. I thought it was too much, but Atlanta has been playing well offensively, and Sacramento didn't score good on the road, but. It's one of those things where, you know, I can't sit around and watch an NBA game for, you know, unless it's the playoffs, for an entire game hardly. I mean, it's hard to swallow a lot of times. You know, players, they don't play a lot of defense, they're lackadaisical, you know, that sort of thing. And so I'm with you on that, but I've been able to be successful just by using the system, you know, and mainly it's based on scheduling. And so if you find something that works for you, you know, it's tolerable, but, you know, it does get a little mundane from time to time, no doubt.
I did 64 games last year of NBA. I was 33-31.
Yeah, you beat me by 8 games.
I lost $30 on the site. I mean, it is what it is. I just can't get into it. I just can't do it. I don't know. Just
well,
not a fan.
If you're throwing out a bunch of games early, you see handicappers online. They got triple headers every day, first day of the season, first couple 3 weeks of the season, 5-game cards. You're stupid to buy them. I mean, I hate to say that. I don't have a lot of guys on my site that do high volume stuff. To be honest with you, I pick and choose the cappers on my site just like you do, very carefully. You know, keep the hype out of it, and don't have a game of the year every day and all that kind of crazy stuff. But, you know, at the end of the day, you know, it's like college basketball. I'm not doing anything in college basketball right now except watching it. Because I don't even get near it till almost conference season starts. Then I got some meat and potatoes to work on. You know, I don't care if Duke's laying 23 against Siena. You know, and they should, you know, it's Duke. They're Cameron Indoor. They'll beat them by 40. So what? I'm not getting near it. You never know how they're going to show up for something like that. I wait. And I do the same thing in the NBA. I've had four plays. The season's almost a month long. You know, and I'll put some more out as the season goes along. You know, but right now, you know, the NBA, like you said earlier, used to be, you know, the Celtics were the Celtics, and it was Mikal and Bird and DJ and all those guys, you know, and they were together forever. Now it's the same faces in different places every year. You know, it takes those teams at least a month to develop some chemistry. You know, to figure out what works, to find their identity, and then, you know, anybody that's a month into the season. Fifth weekend of the NFL season, the NBA season, for instance, if you're handicapping off season-long stats, don't do it. You go on the last five games only. You know, because those daily sports like that are very cyclical. It's like baseball. Teams get on a roll, it's cyclical. Royals did great this year in the first half, got on a down cycle, they got on an up cycle closer to the playoffs, and got on a roll and ended up winning a World Series. Living in Kansas City, I'll tell you, it was exciting. But, you know, these things are very cyclical, and the NBA is that way as well. So, you know, you definitely, definitely, definitely want to tread lightly, you know, right now, this time of year.
You know, I've jumped right into college hoops. 14-13-1. Not the best record. 17 of those, eight of my wins have been dogs. 9 of my losses have been dogs. I jump on my dogs. I end up getting a push because I had Pitt over Gonzaga, and Pitt's winning at halftime, and they called a game because of a slippery court. 2-1 right now, my college hoops tonight. I lost Cal Irvine, a favorite. They won in overtime, didn't cover. But two dogs outright for me, Richmond and Akron so far. So hopefully, listen, I love my college basketball.
Yeah, I know you're a demon in that college basketball, and you're good at it. You know, you had a opening night, you had like a 10-play card or something. Like, well, I featured it on my homepage. I'm like, wow. You know, he better be taking underdogs.
I write my little write-ups. I look for good guard play coming back, preferably like junior, senior, upperclassmen. And I grab these mid-major, smaller schools because the guys play together. Like we're talking about the NBA. You need to play together. You know, you need continuity. You need the same head coach. The same system has been in place for 4 or 5 years. I see new coaches. I got Kennesaw State tonight, again, 21 from Arizona out there. You know, Hurley's taking over that program. I'll take 20-something points. I'll do it. I'll take them. They're a dog. They got a little more. Listen, they're not talent-wise, not better, but the coaching's better because they've been playing together for more than the other team. You know, I'll take 2 years. I'll take 1 year. I'll take 10 games over a guy who's just walked through the door and says, we're switching things up. You know?
Yeah.
And you mentioned Major League Baseball before. I put out 620 baseball plays this year.
Wow.
All right. I hit 52%, 314 and 292, Tony, but my units-wise, plus 35-12.
Yep.
That's based on $100, you know.
Yep.
So, I mean, you know.
Yeah, you're one of the higher volume guys on my website, and the only reason that you're on there is because you win them. You know, I had a couple guys. I had Joe Gavassi on there putting out 10 plays a day, and he's 2-8 every day, you know, something. And I respect Joe and stuff, but I ended up taking him down. I have people complaining all the time. You know, I spread out 10 games on a Tuesday and college basketball, and the guy went 2-8, and it just repeatedly happened. And I've seen the guy go on monster runs, too. He's like 3 and, you know, over a week period, you know, I just, you know, 27 games in a week that average, you know, but if you're winning, you know, and I know you are definitely the highest volume player on there. And, you know, there's guys that like that. There's clients out there that complain about 11-3 in the NFL. You've only had 14 plays in November. What's the matter with you? I don't know. You're 11-3. What are you bitching about?
That,
plus you're 6-7-1 in teasers this month. That last I checked, that's 18-4.
That's the medium you have to kind of hit because I tried to – listen, you know how it is. People are in. I can't believe you don't have this game tonight. I don't like this game tonight. You know, like Monday night game, I put out the Texans on my YouTube channel as a free pick on the comp line just because I didn't really like it that much.
Uh-huh.
You know, I don't want to say take something and – like you said, you put out a couple games, people complain. You put out too many games. Listen, in this business, you either got people who want 5, 6, 8, 12 games a day. And on a Saturday, listen, Saturday college basketball, there's 130 games sometimes. And like this weekend, between college basketball and college football, we're going to have over 200-something games. Probably 250 we had in the hockey and basketball. We're talking almost 300 games. So, and you know how it is, Tony. You're going to put out, what, 5 games, and then you had – you know, you circle 25 and you pick 5 and you go 3-2 or 4-1. Even if you sweep the board, you'd still be like, wow, these other 18, I could have went 18-6. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's like, listen, I try to shot my card down. I do, you know. I look for the different line moves. Things go different ways. But I don't want, you know, I don't know. I don't know. It's just, you can't please everybody. Some people want action all the time. Some people, you know, listen, if you had a disciplined guy who's like, listen, I want to bet, you know, 3 or 4 games a week and just whack them. How many people who come to our sites and do this kind of business do that? Not many, you know. Not many is really disciplined like that. You know, they want action. They want action every game. They want the Fox Sports game. They want ESPN2. Who's on ABC? Is there a game on SNY? Who's on the local channels? Everybody wants every TV game, every marquee game. You know, college football this weekend, marquee, I mean, who's going to want Baylor, Oklahoma State, TCU, Oklahoma? You know, who's Florida State playing? You know, what's Alabama got on deck? Is, You know, who's LSU playing? They're playing Mississippi. Two ranked teams are playing. What other ranked teams are playing? Ah, it's crazy.
Yeah. You just
I was going to say, getting back to that Major League Baseball. Here's my first 10 plays. I had St. Louis Cardinals opening night. They're minus 108. Blue Jays plus 140. St. Louis won, by the way. Blue Jays plus 140, winner. Mets plus 175, winner. Marlins minus 125, loser. White Sox plus 113, loser. Astros plus 105 win. Rockies plus 140 win. Diamondbacks run line plus 195. That was a loser. And then the Padres plus 139 winner. And then Twins plus 180 loser. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 6 and 4 out the gate. And my fave was a 125 fave.
Yeah.
I tell people, listen, 50%. I heard somebody roll me on Twitter like, well, how's your baseball? I'm like, well, I'm at 52%. It was 54. Well, that's terrible. Well, it would be terrible if I was taking 175 faves every day. You know, if I'm, you know, Ben Burns laying 260 in hockey with every selection, be in trouble. But if I'm taking a, you know, I had a four-game losing streak, plus 155, plus 180, plus 130, plus 150, you know, okay, you lose a couple games, but you're not getting crushed.
A lot of people, recreational bettors don't understand the money line and how it works in units one in baseball. And I don't put out near that many plays, I've never laid over 150 on a card ever. That's my rule. I won't lay over 150. I rarely will even knock it down with the run line because you get stunned too many times. But, you know, at day's end, it's all about managing your money based on the units and the money line's different. So, you know, it scares a lot of recreational wagers off. I would say probably, you know, my pick sales in terms of percentage-wise for baseball, you know, is probably 15% of my gross annual income. You know,
yeah.
College basketball and the NFL, football in general, it's, you know, it's basically the, you know, it's the 70-30 rule. 70% of your income comes in, you know, in football between the two, and then 30% is, you know, NBA, college basketball. You know, March Madness, you know, everybody thinks, you know, and I've been ranked number one and then last year number two at Sports Watch back-to-back years and hit 68% last year and 72% the year before. I had right around 30 to 32 games both seasons in March Madness, and which is a lot of plays for me, but I'm, you know, just been real good at it. But, you know, at the end of the day, it's amazing, as good as that was, that a lot of people in March Madness, their bet, their brackets, they kind of make up their own mind on what they want to do in that. They don't really use handicappers. I make more sales in the regular season than I do March Madness. And, of course, last year I had some, you know, decent sales because I did so well the year before, you know. But a handicapper can go, I think I was like, I forgot, but it's 28-7 or something, whatever insane number I did, you know. And so then the next year, you know, they think, well, he went 28-7 last year. Shit, you know, he's number one in the country, and, you know, they've been around 22 years at the time or whatever. And, you know, it could go, you could easily go 7-28 if you don't know what you're doing. So if I don't like them, I don't take them. But, you know, at the end of the day, even with as good a number as I had there, you know, sales were better. They were average, you know, but still, you know, those postseason, a lot of guys make up their own mind. And then baseball is, you know, you don't have that many clients because really only sharp players play baseball. I mean, at the end of the day, you know, they really do. There's probably a lot of professional bettors that'll buy your package just to see what you're on and see what your angle is. They just utilize that for their own information. They might not necessarily bet them. You know, I have a lot of guys that do that on my website. You know, I have guys that followed me for 22 years. You know, that they email me all the time and bought your NFL package. I disagree with you on these plays. I'm going the other way, but they're bouncing off what I'm thinking, you know, and off what they've already got their mind made up on. So, you know, different strokes for different folks, and there's a lot of different flavors out there. And you know, that's why you've got a website with more than one capper on. I've got a website with more than myself on it. And so if people like volume betting, they can pick up Sean Higgs, who does a decent job at it. They want low volume. With me, I've been around so long, Sean, that people know exactly what they're getting with me. I mean, that Tony doesn't put out a lot of plays. You know, when he puts out a top play, he usually hits them. you know, so, you know, people know what they're getting with me, and but these young guys, a lot of these young guys out there, you know, they get a website and call themselves a handicapper. You know, those guys we're fighting against all the time. So we do what we do, and we do it well.
You know, like I do the leaderboards. I come on a show. I go over my, you know, who's on top, college, sub-college, NFL. Now, I break into a little NBA and hockey a little bit now, but those are basically the two top money ones. You know that. And I said, you know, you're, you know, number four on the site here, or five, which total money, but you're 61% overall, 25-16, not bad. You know, I mean, again, 61%. Who wouldn't sign up for 61% winners?
Yeah.
You know? I tell people all the time, like, for my hockey, again, like baseball last year, I did 258 hockey games, 54%. Again, not the best percentage, but you take dogs, I'm plus 2770 units. I don't get it. I mean, you're two thoughts of thinking. Either you want the small, and that's why, you know, I went multi-capper because, you know, like you said, you can go 7-0 or 0-7. You throw out some variety, you know, you see how people play, and, you know, your site's like mine. You see the plays that come up after the midnight, they're right there for you. You see people's write-ups, what they're thinking is, why they like things, and you can figure out who's, you know, how they do the games. Like me, like college hoops. You know you're gonna get on an average for a big college hoop stage. You're gonna get 5-6 games. You want to bet? We got 6 games for you. NFL time comes around. You know I'm gonna have at least 4 games. You know, and you know I don't think there's a lot of cappers out there. I mean, maybe you know more than me, but I don't think there's guys who put out like 15 games on a NFL Sunday. You know, I think more guys go into the 4-6 kind of mode. You know,
yeah,
Monday night games.
If, if they put out 15 games on a Sunday, I can tell you something. They're not going to be on my website. That's you're asking for. You know, it's like telling somebody you're going to hit 19 parlay every Sunday. Forget about it. You're not going to lose. You're going to lose, you know, at the end of the day. I mean, but, you know, there's different strokes for different folks. And, you know, that's why I tell all my happers I want a couple free plays a week. You know, some write-ups, some content. You know, we have content. We have, you know, we have anywhere from 8 to 12 free plays every Saturday and every Sunday on my website and an average of 7 per day. And they have to have write-ups on them. I tell them I want write-ups because what that does is that gives the customer out there a sample size of, you know, who the guys are and how they analyze the game. You know, what's his take on this? What's his angle? You know, is he using the power rating number and overlay against spread? Is he doing a situational analysis here? Is he, you know, this, that, or the other? And you get a chance, you know, you kind of raise your eyebrows. Maybe you didn't know that this team was, you know, 7th against the run in the nation. And they're Georgia Southern or something, you know, and they're playing, you know, a school, you know, that sort of thing. They're playing Georgia Southern this weekend against Georgia. That's a tough matchup for Georgia. Georgia Southern's a good football team. Have no illusions. They're getting a ton of points. Go look at the stats on that team. But, you know, most John Q. Public doesn't look at that. He's looking at Ohio State, Michigan State. You know, he's looking at USC and Oregon. You know, with a trick line. You know, it's the money's just as green on Georgia Southern as it is on Oregon. You know, so you know, but when these handicappers put up these obscure games in their free plays, you know, they gain customers. Customers go, wow, this guy's doing his homework. This is unbelievable. Then you know, they'll look at it, and they'll look at the score the next day and say, well, shit, Georgia just beat Georgia Southern by 4. They were laying 17. Wow. That guy said this stuff run. He wasn't blowing smoke up my ass. Well, yeah, so we have those. That's how you get to know a capper. Go over there and read their write-ups. Go over there. I got articles over the front page of my website and a daily featured free play. I had Toledo last night, a big write-up on why Toledo was going to win that game. You know, and so at the end of the day, that's what we do, and everybody needs to take note of that, you know, on your website, my website, and pick themselves out a couple favorite guys and catch them when they're hot and, you know, make some money. That's what we're here for. You deserve to get paid. We're trying to get you paid, buddy. That's how it works.
I hear you. You know, I'm checking out. There's a nice picture of a butt on here. You have a nice picture of a woman on the front page of the.
Everybody that comes over to Tony George Sports, every hump day, we got a little hump day picture for you. Nothing too over the top, but we got a little picture for you. I noticed that I had a featured free play tonight on Western on. I forgot who the hell I had on there tonight, but that was yesterday. Joe D'Amico had Arkansas Razorback tonight over Akron, and I didn't necessarily agree with it. And I see Akron ended up beating them. They were catching like 4.5 or 5.
So every now and then we don't win
them all, but yeah, a lot of guys. I read another Joe. We had a free play on the back end of the website, not on the main page, where a guy he loved Akron tonight and thought they had a, you know, experienced deep team, and Arkansas is, you know, kind of a mess right now and don't have a lot of experience. We're not always right, but you get a feel for what these guys are looking at. So, you know, go take advantage of it and find the same stuff over at Sean's site. So, but listen, I appreciate you letting me come on here, and it's always nice every now and then to come on and shoot the bowl for about an hour on your show, and hopefully people get something from it, and let's go win some money.
I hear you. I love it. Thanks for calling in, Tony. I appreciate it.
Not a problem. I'm looking forward to having you on my Yahoo show here real soon. We'll have you on here in a week or so. And we've got kind of a tight rotation on our NFL side. Usually we like to rotate a lot of college cappers, you know, for the college show on Saturdays. We put Joe D'Amico on there, and the guy went 17-0 before he lost the game on the radio show.
Don't put me on after him. I can't follow that up.
Yeah, we have an odds maker, and Teddy Covers is always a weekly guest. We always have Teddy on to close the show, so we've just been leaving Joe on there until he loses. He finally went 1-1 a couple weeks ago, and last week we had a special guest on, but have Joe back on this week, see if he can make up for it. I told him, I said, once you lose one game, we kick you off the show forever, but since you're 17-1, I'll let it slide.
Listen, whenever, I don't pressure you. Anytime you put me on, I appreciate it. I enjoy it. So it's always good whenever, you know, whatever you could do, yep. I don't mind. I'm not greedy.
Yep. Love having you on, and appreciate you letting me come on and shoot the breeze with you tonight, Sean.
Anytime, Tony. Thanks.
Okay. Thanks, buddy.
All right. Tony George of Tony George Sports dropping in on us. Nice call from him. Great insight. Like I said, man, the guy's 23 years in the business. A lot of insight. You know, college football-wise, listen, we hit a bunch of NFL games already. And I think college football-wise, that's all you need to know. What do you need to know? He mentioned Senior Day. Last home games for a lot of these coaches. Or a lot of these players, but two coaches in particular, Frank Beamer over in Virginia Tech. They're catching a 6.5-7 right now from North Carolina. Little home dog. Again, last game of career for the coach. And then in the SEC, Mizzou, Pinkel's last game as the coach, 8.5-point dogs. You know we love our dogs. There's a pair of winners right there. Now, I was looking at... And Western Michigan, first of all, we got them as the free play. They're up 19-14 in the fourth quarter here, catching a field goal. tomorrow night wise, not much was really jumping out at me. I'm not going to lie. East Carolina, Central Florida really don't do it for me there. You take Central Florida, winless, getting 15. Ugh. Ugly. You all Monroe, Texas State. I guess follow the money, Texas State. I am leaning South Florida, though, on Friday. Little Boise revenge game from last year. I don't know. The line came down. Saturday, Navy, 11.5, total is 68, against Tulsa. They're 7-2 ATS, 8-1 on the year, only loss at Notre Dame. Keenan Reynolds, Heisman hopeful. 3 more TDs, most for all time. These guys are 16th in the playoff rankings. Last year, Tulsa beat them 24-23 in OT as a 5-point dog. Missed extra point, the difference maker. Now, Tulsa, they're allowing 220 yards a game on the ground. Navy's rushing for 335. They allowed 49 points last week versus Cincy, 266 on the ground. But they are scoring points, 41 the last four. Just 2-2 record to show for it. I was initially going to lean on Navy here. I still might eventually. I don't know. 12 points on the road. How about the over? Because I don't think Tulsa's going to stop Navy offense. And I think Tulsa can put some points up. So I'm going to give you the over here. Marquee game-wise, several out there. Michigan State, Ohio State, probably at the top of your board. A couple of ranked teams. I mean, Northwestern, Wisconsin, some top 20 teams, but a pair of top 10 teams battling. Like I said, earlier in the show, we're talking BCS, the playoffs, college football playoffs, whatever it's called now. I want to take these points a little bit. I'm going to have to do a little more looking into for sure for this college weekend. Some interesting games. And real fast, getting back to this North Carolina Va Tech game. I liked it. You could just hear people, like I always say. How did North Carolina not win by a touchdown? Come on. All right. So we've been on for about an hour, 40 minutes. Good call from Tony George. We hit on some college football, NFL-wise. You heard it right from the horse's mouth. You can figure out who he's kind of leaning to here, point-wise, dogging it up. Colts a little bit. Looking at Cincy. Probably Buffalo. I guess San Francisco has a double-digit dog. He's talking about them. So you got your free pick fix. I'll be back next week before Turkey Day. Looking to get on board. What are you waiting for? Bulls are right around the corner. We're going to have another big weekend of football. College hoops wise for me, looks like I split out another split in my college basketball. Had a favorite, Cal Irvine, loser, middle of the pack, but middle of the night, Richmond, Akron, St. Louis all win for us, two dogs. Kent State could not pull it out late for us. You know, they lose by a point. Again, 1.5, lose by 3. Tough loss there. And I rolled out big dog out in the Pac-12 with Kennesaw State. Kept it a little close for the first half, down 11. Then it gets smoked by about 30 in the second half. We failed to cover. Hovering around 500 right now. We're not around 500. We are 500. You know, we go 3-3, and now we're 17-16. You know, 21 dogs we've taken. Don't ever think, you know, we're getting killed with faves, like I mentioned on my hockey and Major League Baseball. A lot of games. But if they cash, what's the problem? Sometimes you gotta put a bunch out, like on a Saturday. We're gonna have games. There'll be 6-7 college basketball games. It happens. It happens. And looking ahead to tomorrow. I mean, we have 11:30 action, Temple, Minnesota. A full slate of games. I can't say I'm going to have 4 games because I'll probably have one of these early tournament games. I mean, there's 60-something games on the board already for tomorrow. Now, we did just hit another ice game. Capitals, get it done for us there. I'll take it. Looking at tomorrow's ice, let me see if anything jumps out on me right now. Because, again, I'm having a nice year on the ice. Told you the record just before. 40-27. Well, now 41-27 plus $1,900 and $100 play. Not too shabby. Dime players up 19,000. Nothing that I see right now. No big line moves jumping off the cuff for us. Free play on Western Michigan. Hanging in there. Getting 3. I'm going to wrap this puppy up. Questions or concerns, find me on Twitter. Email me at SeanHiggsWins@yahoo.com. Western Michigan just muffed a kick. That was terrible. All right, well, we still have time doing this game. That'll be all for tonight. Remember, listen, college football this weekend. Final home games for a lot of seniors. Look at those dogs. 2 coaches head out to the sunset as underdogs. Be back with you on next Wednesday before the holiday. Good luck. Good night. Bye-bye.